Well, I kind of wanted to touch a little bit of what we've covered so far, just in a little way, to kind of highlight and underscore. To me, a number of the things we've heard, we need to hear again and again, and we want the Lord to speak to us. And I just hope all of us would be really exercised before the Lord tonight to hear Him speaking. We want something from Him, amen. Something that would touch our being. We don't want to be the same. Do you want to be the same?
No.
I didn't come here to be the same.
No.
I want to be more absolute for the Lord.
Amen.
More one with Him.
Amen.
With fresh revelation.
Amen.
Concerning especially this topic, knowing, seeing, gaining God in an age of ungodliness or age of godlessness. You know, in the first message, I was touched by this one matter. Of course, it was in the verses. And we keep coming back to this. And I hope all of you, because some of you haven't read this before, to me, it's just striking. We have to trust the Bible, believe the Bible, and say amen to the Bible. There's nothing else we can hold on to. This is where the truth is. All truth is here. And so, Paul, he was describing mankind, the condemnation on mankind. And what kind of godlessness did he touch back then? He saw it, and he saw that men hold down the truth in unrighteousness. They hold down the truth. Wickedness comes when we hold down the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes. And then it goes on, because that which is known of God is manifest within them. That which is known of God. There was something known of God that was manifested to them, even in them.
Yeah.
For the invisible things, listen to this. Have you read this? You remember this? The invisible things of Him, both His eternal power and divine characteristics, have been clearly seen. How? Since the creation of the world. Being perceived by the things made. Just look at the things made. Look at creation. Look at nature. Look at the balance. Look at everything. You know there is God. You know. It's manifested. And it can be perceived by the things that you see. And then, of course, they became vain in their reasonings, and in their heart they lacked understanding. It was darkened, and they professed to be wise. This is happening today. When you see that word professing to be wise, it just makes me think of the professors. They think they're so wise, they become fools. Even we've heard of some. I think it was at Tufts. One of the professors wanted to know who's a Christian in here, and then just declared, "My goal in this class is by the time it's over, you will not believe in Christ." Something like that. You will not believe in God. That was this wise professor. This is a fool. Sorry, that's a fool. Anyway, so eventually, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator. What's happening today? You just look around. Who are they really worshiping? They're not worshiping the Creator. They want God out of everything. You remember here, knowing, seeing, and gaining? Uh-oh, what's happening to God? Satan wants to get Him out of the picture. Do you want Him out of the picture?
No.
I don't. I want God absolutely in the middle of everything. I wanted to have everything He wants worked out on this earth. So Satan wants to get Him out of the picture. So they worship creation.
Yep.
I mean, just think about it. Oh, the planet. You see stickers on, I don't know what the stickers say, something about planet, save the planet. Is that right? You know, they've got meaning to their life now. We're going to save the planet. Save the whales, you know. I mean, I'm not against these things, but they can become idols. They don't care about the one who made it. They don't worship God. They don't praise Him. They don't honor God. They like nature and the things around them. But they wouldn't admit that God is the source. Anyway, it's very touching. And then there was a verse that was mentioned in that first message, Proverbs 2. Treasuring my word, you find knowledge of God. Right. Something like that.
Yes.
Treasuring the word. Saints, we have to treasure the word. I hope by the time you get through tonight, the rest of this week, we will treasure the word.
Amen.
Realize here we find knowledge of God.
Amen.
Okay? And in particular, it was in the outline with Dennis, which Dennis covered. It was John 14. You remember where the Lord Jesus was there, and he was with the disciples, and he told them, hey, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send a comforter,
right,
even the Spirit of reality, that he may be with you forever.
Amen.
So don't be bothered. I'm leaving, but I'm leaving someone else. But that other else is not someone else. It's actually him. You remember? I just want, if you haven't ever noticed this, you should look at this. This is in John 14. I may be belaboring this, but I love this. He says, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another comforter. This is 14:16. He'll give you another comforter that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of reality, whom the world can't receive because it doesn't behold him or know him. You know him. Just pretend, you know, I'm the Lord here, and I'm with all the disciples. What if he was to say this to you? I'm going to ask the Comforter. I'm going to ask the Father and give you another Comforter. That he'll be with you forever. You like that, Jerry?
Amen.
Okay. But the world can't receive him because it doesn't behold him or know him. But you know him, right? Because he abides with you. Because I'm right here with you. I'm with you. And then he goes on. I'm with you and shall be in you.
Amen.
How mysterious. Here he is. This is God come in the flesh, declaring God, making God known to everyone by every action, every word, everything he said, everything he didn't say. He was expressing God. The unknown, invisible God was known in this Lord Jesus. And then he comes and says, I'm going to send the Spirit of reality into you, Kenneth. And he's going to be with you forever. But then he goes on, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Are you, Jerry, you want me to leave? I've been with you for 3.5 years. Yeah, please don't leave. It's okay. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, Jerry. I'm going to be in you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I am coming to you.
Amen.
So I thought he said, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to give you the Spirit. But then he turns around and says, I am coming to you.
Amen.
Is there something wrong there? What was he basically saying? Say that louder.
Saying that he is the Spirit.
Amen. Y'all get it?
Yeah.
He's just there, listen, I'm going to become, through death and resurrection, the life-giving Spirit. I'll be the Spirit of reality, a comforter to you. I'll be in you and I'll never leave you. So now you have the Spirit of reality that will lead you into all truth. He'll lead you. He'll get to know God. I just want you to see this. Be aware of this. And he's telling them ahead of time. Isn't that amazing that the Lord did that before he went to the cross? And then later on he says in verse 20, In that day, brothers, you will know that I'm in the Father, and what? And you, Jerry, and all you brothers, you're in me.
Amen.
What? You should say, what? And then he says, and I in you.
Amen.
How mysterious. Anyway, I just treasure that portion because he's so clear in letting us know that he is coming as the Spirit to lead us into all reality. And he is ever present with us. And so we need to know this God.
Yeah.
Don't you want to know this one?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know that he lives in you? He's the Spirit in you. Amen. We should all say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, then in the second message, I was impressed, this matter of the potter. Weren't you all impressed? He's the potter and we're the clay. Who are we to say anything against the one who made us? That is not up to us. We should just come under his authority. We should realize, Lord, you have absolute right over me. And listen, you know what? It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be under him. Amen. For him to have absolute right over you. You just consider, he made everything. He holds everything together. It came into being through him. And now he's in you. And what? Who are you? What are you to say it, other than to say, I love you. I love God.
Amen.
I love God with all my heart and with all my soul. I love the Lord with love so much. I love the Lord with all my heart and every part of my soul. Amen. And then, and also, we believe that he is. Let's all say that. I believe that he is.
I believe that he is.
He's what?
He is.
He is that he is. I am that I am. I'm whatever you need. What do you need, Julius?
Christ.
Amen. Tell him. Okay. Then another thing that kind of stood out as I was considering this, it's in the title. If you look at the title, Knowing, Seeing, and Gaining God, then what does it say? In an age of godlessness. So the context of what we're sharing here is that we're in an age of godlessness. And I think you all are clear. You've been hearing some things. This has come up again and again. You see it in Romans. You see it. We're clear. The Lord said it. John said it. You know, the whole world lies in the evil one, right? He's the ruler of this age. And then there's a portion that I really treasure, and I think you should pay attention to this. This is in John 17. Because this is what the Lord prayed just before he went to the cross. Do you realize when he was there in the garden, he prayed for you and he prayed for me. Kenneth, he prayed for you. No, not you. You think, oh, he just prayed for the disciples. Now listen to this. I have given them your word. This is the Lord talking to the Father. This is his prayer. And the world has hated them. See, right away, the Lord knew. The world hates you. You don't like that, do you, Hanley? Do you like people to hate you? Nobody likes anybody to hate you. You just want to run away. You want everybody to love you. I want the world to love me. No. He said, the world will hate you and has hated you because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He just plainly says, listen, the disciples are not of the world. Are you of the world? Let's all declare, I am not of the world.
I am not of the world.
And then he says, I do not ask that you would take them out of the world. What should we do? Should we get out of the world?
No.
Exactly. The Lord said, don't take them out of the world. You know, a lot, you know, the monks and so forth, they get away from all, you know, society. And so they're free from all the wickedness and so forth. But they take the wickedness with them. You know, it's inside. But the point is, you can't, it's not about getting out of the world. The Lord realized we're in the world. And he goes on, I do not ask that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them out of the hands of the evil one. Amen. Lord, keep us. Let's all say that. Keep us.
Keep us.
Out of the hands of the evil one. And then he goes on, they are not of the world. I love that. He says it again. They are not of the world. Let's repeat that. They are not of the world. Say it. We are not of the world.
We are not of the world.
Even as I am not of the world, he said. Then he goes on. He prays, Father, sanctify them. In the truth, your word is truth. So how are we going to be kept? How are we going to be kept from the world? We're in it, but we need to be kept. We need to be sanctified by what? Come on, let's say it. Truth.
Truth.
Who's the truth? I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? He's the truth. And your word is truth, right? Where's the truth? It's all embodied in the wonderful word, okay? And so, and then in verse 20 he says, and I do not ask concerning these only. He was talking about the disciples at that time, the ones around him. I do not ask concerning these only, but concerning those also who believe into me through their word. See what happened. The word was propagated throughout the ages. The word came to Jerry. Jerry got saved. Guess what? The Lord prayed for you. See, I don't ask for just these. I'm asking for all those down the road that will hear this word from all the believers, the disciples. Anyway, I need to move on. So I just want us to realize we're in the world, we're not of it, and there's a way to escape this world. It's the sanctifying word. It's the truth. Okay? Now let's get into the outline, because there's quite a bit to cover, and I'm not going to get to everything. But let's all enjoy the title. Hallelujah. Enjoying what God is, His life and nature. Amen. So I'll say that again. Enjoying
what God is,
His life,
His nature.
Amen. Romans number 1, we need to partake of God's life. Amen. Let's all declare that. We need to partake of God's life. And of course, you have some verses there. You see in Genesis 2, you have the tree of life. Then you go to Revelation 22, and you see life again. You see the tree of life there. You see the river of water of life. Life, what you see from the very beginning in God's intention with giving himself as life to man, is there at the end of the Bible, again, flowing as life. His intention is that we would enjoy what he is. Did you get that? He intends. From Genesis to Revelation, he's not changed. He wants us to enjoy what he is. And what is God? He's life. Enjoy what God is. He's life. You got a verse for that, Raymond? Okay, there you go. What was that? John 1:4. In him was
life.
Not just life. It was in him was what? Life. You know. Really. We need to be impressed. In him was what? Life. Life. What's another one? 14:6. Go ahead.
You just said I am the way, the reality, and the life.
Yeah, I am the way, the reality, and the life. Then what? John? Yeah. What is that? Resurrection, right? Okay. Do that again, Tim. Impress us with that. Stand up.
I am the resurrection and the life.
No. You don't have to do that. That's okay. Just calm down a little bit. Yes. Okay, we got impressed with life, but we don't want to get distracted from life. Okay. Well, point A says, in the whole universe, only the life of God can be counted as life. Do you realize that in the whole universe, only the life of God can be counted as life? You know, there's all kinds of life. You just look around. Actually, let's just... Let's look at the next two points first, and then I'll go back to a couple of verses. One, brothers.
All the lives in God's creation are figures, types, and shadows of the real life.
Amen. Sisters.
All the beauties of the different types of lives are effects of the beauty of Christ as life, and all the varieties of life are a type of the riches of Christ as life.
Isn't that amazing? Just think about it. All all the different kinds of life, the varieties of life. They're shadows. They're just pictures and types used by God to show us something beautiful, but they're not the reality of that of life. The real life is Christ.
Amen.
They're beautiful. Do you like flowers? Do you like plants? You like palm trees? Some of the ones don't like palm trees, but you better like palm trees. It's carved in the temple. Hallelujah. Anyway, there's such a variety of trees. I mean, you look out here, there's beautiful, all kinds of pine trees and other kind of trees, trees that float. They look like they just have leaves just floating in the air. You know, where's the gravity? How does water get up there and, you know, from the bottom, get all the way up there, get pushed up there and keep it light, green, and float? And how come gravity doesn't overcome it? It's amazing. It's all so rich and beautiful. Even you look at the animals. I mean, you know, a lot of people like their animals. They're beautiful, some of them. My wife bought a book for the coffee table, and it's like, ugh. Because on the cover is this, anyway, it's one of those dogs that's a pug face thing, you know, ugly. Anyway, sorry, I just thought, ugh. But anyway, there's all kinds of dogs, right? All kinds of doggies. Little kitty cats, you know, and so forth. But they're not the real life. You know why I say it's not the real life? It's because the Bible says it's not the real life. There's a verse that's under this portion, under A. It's 1 John 5:12. I wish we all would really pay attention to this, learn this, know this, appreciate it, enjoy it. Why don't you repeat after me? He who has the Son.
He who has the Son.
Oh, he who has the Son.
Oh, he who has the Son.
Has the life.
Has the life.
Oh, has the life.
He who does not have
the Son of God
does not have the life.
Do you have the Son of God?
Amen.
You have the life.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you have the life.
Isn't
that marvelous? We have the Son of God. We have the life. Marvelous. And you notice there, it uses a little the life. It doesn't say, he who has a son has life. That sounds okay. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. But it uses the little article, the life. He is the only real life in the universe. And you know that because everything else passes away. You'll see when we get into this matter of this divine life, saints, is precious. Everything else just passes. Even all flesh. You think human life, does human life last? No. Even it ends. Is it the real life? It's not the life, is it? You know, there's the verse, you know, all flesh is like grass. And the glory of man, like the flower of the grass. But what happens? The grass withers. Human life, you just get old. And then the glory of man, what happens? It just fades. I always use that example, Kobe. You know, Kobe. The glory, is it fading? It's gone. See, some, yeah, it's gone. You know what I mean? And I always use it. I use the example of Elvin Hayes in my day. To me, he was the best, you know, you know, he blocked a Kareem Abdul's skyhook, you know, and won this great, the game of the century in the Astrodome, the biggest crowd ever to watch a basketball game in the history of the earth. Big deal. Anyway, but nobody knows who he is. The glory's gone, right? Hanley, do you know your great-great-great-grandfather's name? But he lived on the earth. He had a full life. Eventually you came into being through him, because of him. But where's the glory? It all fades. It's not the real life, is it? And that brings us, you know, I was thinking of the, you know, the real beauty is in things of life. You know, the moon rock, they brought a moon rock back from, you know, from the moon. Is it beautiful?
It's a rock.
It's just a rock. I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like worth a lot of money. It's just a stupid old rock. It has no life. Oh, they got something from the moon. Awesome. No. I'd rather have a rose garden or something. Anyway, let's go to B. All together, could you read this?
Oh. God's life is the eternal life.
It's a super life. A life without beginning or end and without the limitations of time and space. Wow, isn't it awesome? So now we're looking at this life. We want to enjoy this life. What kind of life are we enjoying? It's the eternal life. You remember? He who has the Son has the what? The life. Havana, what kind of life do you have?
Eternal life.
Yeah, and the life. Yeah. I love that. We have the life. The Son of God. And it is the eternal life. Isn't that awesome? We have the eternal life. What does it say in this little point? It is a what? Super life. Let's all declare that. Super life.
Super life.
Say, I have a super life.
I have a super life.
Just as, isn't that good? You have the eternal life.
Amen.
Listen, it's a life without beginning or end, without limitations of time and space. What kind of life is it?
It's a super life.
Super life. Tell your neighbor you have a super life.
Yeah, super.
Life. Super.
Super.
In John, yeah. Okay, let's go, and there's the verse, John 4:14. You realize the Lord said that the water that I will give him, you know, he told the woman at the well, that I give him will become in you, right? A spring of water gushing up, or a fountain of water gushing up into eternal life. What he puts in us is himself as a fountain of living water that springs up into a realm of what? Eternal, what is it? Life. This is our destiny. Praise the Lord. Then the next point, C, all together. God's life is the uncreated life. Although it is uncreated, it is creating. This life is always creating something positive in our church life, family life, and Christian life. I love this point. God's life is an uncreated life, and it doesn't fit into our brain. Try to think about it for a while, Jerry. Uncreated life. Where did it come from? If it wasn't created. Yes, it hurts his head already. You know, it's uncreated. You just say amen. But it's a creating life. It's a life that's always creating something positive in our church life. Just think about it. What's life doing in you? What's life doing in the ones around you? I enjoy looking at the life in Kenneth. You know, Kenneth's at MIT. He doesn't have time for life. He's got MIT to worry about. But no, what is he doing here? Why are you here? Life is creating something wonderful in him and in all of us. Actually, what this life is doing is creating a masterpiece, a wonderful masterpiece that will. Express the wise design of the maker of this masterpiece. And this life is working in all of us. Think about saints in your locality. You know, there's just so many. It's wonderful to see this life create something positive. Saints getting built together, pursuing the Lord, preaching the gospel, caring for others, prophesying to build up the church, praying in the prayer meetings. Wow, what kind of life is this? This is a creating life. It's creating an overcoming life in us to overcome all the things of the world. So, And it's producing something beautiful in us of Christ, right? He used this little phrase, something positive in our church life, family life. Is there anything positive going on in your family life? I mean, I'm looking at Dennis here. Dennis, is this life, uncreated life, doing anything positive in your family life?
Absolutely.
Do you have any kids here?
Yeah, I have kids here.
Yeah. I know. Listen, when I see that, I just like, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it's not easy. It's not easy for parents in these days. But to have your kids here enjoying the Lord, that's beautiful. That's marvelous. Recently, my grandson, he's about 15 years old, and he picked up the guitar. And you know, you don't hear much going on in him, and then all of a sudden he picks up the guitar, and now he's teaching himself how to play the guitar. And then he's not just playing the guitar, my son-in-law tells me, he's not just playing learning to play the guitar, he's singing the songs to the Lord out loud. So he's singing and playing the guitar, singing. Next thing you know, his family members are coming in and singing with him. His older sister comes and just sings with him. Anyway, that's creating something beautiful. That's the uncreated life of God.
Amen.
Wonderful. Then we come to, John 1:3. I just want to read that to you. It's under there, 1:3 says, all things. Why don't you repeat after me? I'd like for you to stay active, okay? All things,
all things
came into being,
through Him,
and apart from Him,
not one thing
came into being which has come into being. How did all things come into being?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, through Him. So I'll say that, through Him.
Through Him.
Okay. Then going on, D, all together. Wonderful. God's life is the resurrection life. Death cannot do anything with it. Death tried. All the evil powers tried to stop it. Tried to, you know, stop what was going on there, but nah. The Lord just went on into death, walked right out, and was in resurrection.
Amen.
For the sake of His purpose, for reaching you and me to carry out what is on His heart. So it is a super life, isn't it? It's a super life. It's eternal. It's uncreated. And it is what? Resurrection.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And then point E. God's life. Go ahead.
God's life is indestructible. Nothing can destroy or dissolve it. And nothing on earth, in heaven, or in hell can deal with it.
Yes. He was appointed according to the power of an indestructible life. Saints, doesn't this make you just say, thank you, Lord, for your life?
Amen.
It should mean a little bit more to us. So let's just go back over that. What kind of life is it? Number one, eternal life. Number two,
uncreated
life. Number three, resurrection life. Four, indestructible life. Okay, then F, let's all read this together. The nature of this life is the exact opposite of the nature of the human life. The nature of the human life is weak and fragile. But the nature of the divine eternal life is strong. The strong divine life can resolve the problems of human weakness and fragility. Amen. Sometimes, you know, when you're weak, you don't think this is true. You know, the other night I couldn't sleep because I have a lot of pain, and I just realized this pain is not going away. So how am I going to sleep? And what's the benefit of just being in pain? So what do I do? Guess what? This divine life can resolve the problems of human weakness. You know what happens? You enjoy the Lord in the middle of your weakness. It's not like He takes away the pain, but He becomes better than the pain. Hallelujah. It's so easy to declare, Lord, your grace is sufficient. I just need your grace right now. Grace in the weakness. He can resolve all the problems, whatever you have to go through. You know, just think about it. I mean, I got married What is that? That's weak and fragile life. You know, there's a lot of problems with human weakness. Then you have kids. And I had five kids, you know, five girls. And so, a lot of problems. And then at one point we had six cars, all of my insurance. And then a little accident here, a little accident there. All the problems of life, you know. And, that's just the beginning of it. Wait till they get married. Then, yeah, and they have kids. But anyway, what's the solution? I just want to declare strongly, this strong divine life can resolve the problems of human weakness and frailty. This is what the world needs. Your friends need this life. They have a sense of loneliness, emptiness, vanity. What do they need? They need the life. They need the eternal life of God. Don't you want them to have it? Amen. Then that brings us to G, which I really feel strongly about this point. It's a lot of feeling here, but I hope you would pick up on this. All together, could we read this strongly? God's heart and desire that He would be life to us, that we would receive Him and take Him as life. The more we take Him as life, the more we please Him. I mean, from the very beginning, you should be touched just by the first phrase. God's heart and desire. Let's all say that. God's heart and desire. Lord, your heart and your desire is what? He would be life to us. That we would receive Him. You just think about it, saints. Hear this wonderful God who created the universe. He stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundation of the earth. He formed the spirit within man. And now He just longs. He placed them in the garden. He's there as the tree of life. Man fell. He wouldn't give up. He wants man still to what? Receive this wonderful life He has. Can you believe that the very God wants you to have this eternal life? This indestructible life, this resurrection life, this super life, this indestructible life. He wants us to receive it and enjoy this life. What else does the world have that's better than that? Nothing. They have nothing. Okay. There's a verse here I want to point out. 1 Timothy 6:12. I hope you'd pay attention to this verse. It goes like this. It's 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Let's all say that. Fight the good fight.
Of the faith.
Lay hold on the eternal life.
Lay hold on the eternal life.
Lay hold.
Lay hold.
On.
On.
The.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. To which you were called.
To which you were called.
Oh, you were called to this life.
Oh, you were called to this life.
Amen. And have confessed a good confession before many witnesses. But isn't that outstanding? Lay hold on what? What are you laying hold of? What am I laying hold of? I mean, I came into the church life for a particular purpose. And that is to be one with the Lord in His carrying out of what's on His heart. And from those days, from the early days to now, as much as I can, this is what I realize. This is what I was called for. To what? Lay hold on the eternal life. Every day, Lord, the life. Lord, I need more of your life. I want to get saturated, permeated with the eternal life. What else do you want? You want to be a CEO somewhere? You want to have a startup company, make millions, and not have life? Oh my goodness, that'd be terrible. We want the eternal life. Lay hold on the eternal life. The one that we just saw. Okay? This is what we were called for. What were you called for, Tim? Exactly. Nathan, what were you called for?
Lay hold on the
eternal life. Amen. Havana, what were you called for?
Lay hold on the eternal life.
Amen. That's right. We all were. Okay, then we come to the second part of this outline. And, you know, we want to enjoy the divine life, but there's also another side of it. We receive the divine life, the eternal life, but that life has a nature. And so we come to this, and let's all declare Roman numeral 2. Daily, we should partake of the divine nature, enjoy what God is. Now, I hope you wouldn't say, oh, I know all about this. But this is there's something really precious here. His desire and his heart is that we would partake of his life and partake of his nature. And his divine nature, this refers to all the riches of this divine life. He's not just life. He's not just the eternal life. He has a nature with so many riches. And so there's three points here that that we'll look at that tells us what's the nature of the divine life. What's the nature? Well, number one, the divine nature refers to the riches of what? What God is, and what is he? God of love. And so point B says, you need to underline that, love is the nature of what? God's essence. Love is the nature of God's essence. And then just skipping on to point C, what's the nature of God's expression?
Light.
Light is expression. I mean, is the nature of God's expression. Then lastly, under this, Spirit is the nature of God's person. Okay. Now, when it comes to this matter of what God is, you know, the nature of God's essence, it's what? It's love. And we all know God is love. Let's all say that. God is love.
God is love.
Say it another way. God is love.
God is love.
Say God is love.
God is love.
You know, you get into this, you can get just overwhelmed by how precious his love is. But we'll look at some things regarding this love, and I hope you'd be impressed with his love. Just by, because we want you to enjoy the divine nature. What are you going to do the rest of your life? Just live a good life? We've got a whole wealth of riches for us to enjoy. And his love, there's so much here, just in the matter of love, in his nature, his essence. Point one. Let's read point one. Love is the inner substance of God. You know, there's a verse here, Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love. Even as Christ also loved us, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in love. What does that mean? Walk in God. It's to walk in him. And just as Christ loved. Walk in the same love. Did he love? Listen, what was his love like? What is your love like? Have you ever laid down your life for somebody? What did he do? He gave himself up for us. That's the kind of life he has. That's his nature. It's a love that lays down his life for us. And that was something that was a sweet-smelling savor to the Father. Wow, so sweet. Now then, because he lives in us, we can walk in that love. There's a lot here. I won't get into all the details. There's a footnote here you could look at as well. Okay, two, all together.
God loves the world.
God loves man. The biggest misunderstanding man has toward God is to think that God hates man or that he wants to punish man. God's feeling toward man is forever love. I hope you would pay attention to this. I mean, isn't this precious? It's so easy to misunderstand it. We think God hates us sometimes. You know, we do something wrong and we just think, well, he just hates me. Well, he may hate what we've done, but he doesn't hate us. He loves us. And it's his heart isn't, that brother, he needs to be punished, you know. What kind of life is that in us? That's not the Lord in us. The life in us is one of love for one another because that's the kind of God we have. He's a God in his nature. His essence is what? Love. So we can walk in that love. Walk in God. Walk in that essence of his divine nature, which is love. This is not easy, and we need to appreciate, Lord, your heart towards us is always good. You always, you know, regardless of all our failures, we may think, well, I've done it, you know, I've done this so many times, you'll never forgive me. You probably hate me now. I should probably just leave. Listen, the Lord loves. He just keeps on loving. You know, there's this next point, three. God commends His love to us, His own love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us even when we were His enemies. So you see here, we were sinners and we were enemies. But guess what? God commended His own love to us. Praise the Lord. Amen. I say, praise the Lord for your love.
Praise the Lord for your love.
Amen. We were enemies. We probably don't even think of that. Hanley, ever think you're an enemy of God? There's a verse that says, if you love the world, then you're an enemy. Anyway. Oh, Lord. He still loves us. He loves us. He's after us. He wants to complete His work in us. He commends His own love to us in that while we were sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I might just give a little testimony. It was very touching to me that the Lord would go after me. When I was in college, I was running the other way. I was not going after the Lord at all. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't thinking about God. I didn't care about God. I was rebelling against God, actually. And I was just doing my own thing, you know, and it was the hippie days. And I just, that's kind of where I was. And I couldn't believe, you know, a night came. I was working at night in a bank, going to school during the day, bank at night, and then in rock concerts in the evenings whenever I could. And that was my life. But after all this time of just rebelling and going my own way against the Lord, one night, out of nowhere, it seemed like, the Lord just spoke something to me. I just thought the Lord had just given me up. You know, you're just, you know, I was a Christian, but I was just going my own way. But listen, He didn't give up. And it's very touching to me that His love came to me. I was a sinner. I was a rebel. You know, I was going against the establishment, you know. I wanted peace in the world and this and that, and against Vietnam and all this other stuff. And it was just the generation. But the Lord had mercy on me. But more than just mercy, He commended His love toward me. Even just a little word from Him. I looked out the window at night, and I saw a silhouette of myself. And it looked like, you know, because I had hair out here, kind of like George Washington, and just the silhouette. And the Lord just, you know, I had the sense, the Lord was asking me, is that really you? And I just had the sense, it's not really me. That's not really who I am. And then the other question is, are you going to give your life to this? That lifestyle? And just those two little things, just, I don't know how or why it came to me, but that was a love that just melted my heart. Amen. That night, I had a big, big turn to the Lord. Amen. A walk with the Lord. Conversations with the Lord. Repentance to the Lord. Confessing to the Lord. Giving my life back to the Lord. I don't even know how that happened. Why He would do that. But He had mercy. And He touched my heart with His love. Because I thought, you know, he wanted to, I was mistaken, that He wants to do something bad to me. Yeah, punish me. But He didn't. He just loved me. That's the worst thing, when you're bad and then they love you. You ever done that? You're bad and then your parents love you? Anyway, this is what the Lord did. I couldn't believe it. How precious. It melts our heart. And it's a very powerful thing. His love is powerful. It can change a man. And so we can't help but appreciate this love as one of the essence of His nature. Then four, can we read that together?
God's love is eternal. The love with which He loves us will never change.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Then in Jeremiah 31:3 it says, Jehovah appeared to me from afar saying, indeed, I have loved you with an eternal love. Amen. Let's all repeat. Indeed, I have loved you with an eternal love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. I feel like that was the Lord's drawing me as well with his loving kindness. Then 5, it says the love of God is boundless, unlimited, and immeasurable. Think about this. Why don't you all declare that? The love of God is boundless, unlimited, immeasurable. And, you know, when I look at this, there's a lot of things that comes to mind. But, you know, when you think about love and his boundless love, immeasurable love, you know, I can't help but think about, just think about over the years, the love of the saints, the things that the saints care for one another. You may not have much realization or appreciation for that, but you have to realize the saints have the love of God in them. And that love flows out in an immeasurable way. It just keeps flowing, never gives up, just keeps flowing. Through the years, just love growing and flowing. And it's immeasurable. It's the love of God. It's not a human love. It's the real love. And don't you want that love to fill our being? So what do we need to do? We need to enjoy the divine nature.
Amen.
Enjoy the divine love, right? Which is in, which is his essence. I was thinking about, this is really off the wall maybe, but I'll give you a little example of something that touched me one time. I was hurt, and I couldn't play. This is many years ago. I couldn't play football with the brothers in Texas. We did a lot of that, and it was tackle football. And so I'm just watching, and I'm in the end zone. I'm in the end zone, and a team is coming this way, and there's some high schoolers. They're playing football, and I'm just, you know, I just scream and holler is all I do at them, make sure they don't get in trouble. But I'm watching them, and there's Ben Phillips. This is Benson's son. He comes out for a pass. And back then, he was ninth grade. He was just a skinny rail. Just tall, thin guy going out for a long pass. And coming from the other direction was this young guy had just finished high school, and he was going into the Marines. And he was built like nobody. And here comes a bomb, you know. And I just could see it. A collision is coming, you know. Here comes Ben. And Ben flies up. He catches the ball. And here comes the Marine, future Marine, and he goes and he just picked him up and put him on the ground. I mean, I was in shock. And this brother was a sweet brother. I couldn't believe he did it. It was prime time for smashing him, you know. He'd go flying. I just could see him flying through the air. But it said he grabbed him, and they just slowly put him on the ground. You know what that was? That's love. That's not human. That's not human. What I saw was not a human love. That was God in his immeasurable love. This is what we have. That's the capacity of this love in us, you know? In John 13:1, at the end of the verse, it says, concerning the Lord Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost. Let's all say that. He loved them to the uttermost. Again, he loved them to the uttermost. What a life we have. What a nature we have in us. Then 6, this brings us to something else. Let's all read this together. God's love is not a general love. Rather, it is a romantic love. God loves us not only in a merciful way,
but in a romantic way.
He loves us in this way because he desires to join himself to us. Isn't that sweet? I just like to keep the context here. You know, God, he just loves. And He's a God who's waiting. Saints, I feel he's waiting for some ones to align with him and stand with him and open to him and allow him to carry out what's on his heart. He needs a new generation of young people that stands against the age, that enjoys Him. They know Him, they see Him, they gain Him, they enjoy His life, enjoy His nature, and just stand against the age. He needs this. And His love is toward us. His love can keep us. His love can guard us. His love can do so much in all of us. So I guess my point is we have to trust this life. Enjoy this life. Enjoy this nature. Get this nature into your being. This is what I need. I know about you. What do I need? I need that divine nature in me. You know, when I'm with my wife, what do I need? Man, I need another nature. I need love. I need love. I love the story some of the brothers were telling, you know, about at midnight when you're ready to go to sleep, that's when your wife wants to tell you something that happened that day, and are you listening to me? You know, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you really want to go to sleep, you know, and you either just do it in yourself, and then you're a good husband, but you're not in life. That's no love. Or you turn to the Lord and you just love. You're so sweet. I love your stories. You know, whatever, you know. But anyway, the Lord knows how to love us. And it's not the way we think sometimes. And, you know, there's a verse here. I like this in Song of Songs 1:2. It says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine." You know, the Lord just loves us. And so many times, you know, I've been around so long, and there's been so many experiences in my life. Even today, I was thinking about it. And I was just brought to tears. I couldn't help it. You know, I don't usually stop and think about my life, you know, what's happened. But if you stop and think about it, if you live long enough and you just look back and you realize, the Lord has just kissed me again and again. Times when I don't deserve it. You know, a lot of times it comes when I'm in the worst condition. And all of a sudden He kisses me. It's like, I don't deserve that kiss. What are you doing? You're trying to warm me up. You know, you're trying to get me to love you. And it's working. You know, you just can't help it. Lord, I can't help but love you. You know, He just comes again and again to kiss us. This is a Christian life. This is normal. Your love is better than wine. And then, you know, there was a time, I'll just mention it, you know, when we had our third daughter after a year. She was a year old, cute little bug in the rug, whatever. It's just a little cutie. And then she had meningitis, and it's a sad thing, you know, to see your daughter, you know, having epileptic fits in the emergency room, and the prognosis was that she wasn't going to make it because the antibiotics not working that they had, and you know, you're just crying out to the Lord, you know, you just can't believe you're in this situation. And then the Lord kissed me. The Lord kissed us. There was an antibiotic that was a test antibiotic. It wasn't approved yet. We went ahead and agreed to let them try it, and it worked. She came out of it. She's healed, doing fine. And so when she was there sick, my wife wrote a song, and we would sing it to her. And later, it was a cute little song, but later when she got married and I officiated the wedding and I married her, I just felt to sing that song to her. And here's the song. It goes like this. I'm for Christ and the church. I'm for Christ and the church. All my life long I will be for the Lord's recovery. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I am in a place where I can love the Lord all my days, sing and shout to His praise. Anyway, all the tears start flowing. I messed everything up at the wedding, but anyway. But you know, the Lord just kisses us again and again through our life. You know, just look forward to it. Just give yourself to love the Lord. You know, it's too wonderful. Then, point eight. Oh, no, seven. Altogether. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Even we cannot separate ourselves from the love of God. God's love will never forsake us. Okay, let's sing Romans 8:38. For I'm persuaded to believe nothing can separate us from the wonderful love of God. Amen. Nothing. He's called us according to His purpose, works all things together for good. Neither height, nor depth, principalities, present or things to come. Though the devil hate us, he can never separate us from the wonderful love of God. Okay, that's that point. Okay, eight. God is for us because from eternity His heart loved us. His love is our security. Amen. Okay, now then, let's go on to the second aspect of His divine nature. Light is the nature of His expression. Okay? And then you have this verse you're familiar with, 1 John 1:5. Everybody know that? And this is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. God is light. So I'll say that. God is light. And in Him. And in Him. No, amen. Amen. In Him is no darkness at all. Praise the Lord. This is the nature of His expression. Light is marvelous, saints. Light supplies. I think we heard that today. Light supplies. When the Lord shines His light, it's not, oh, I don't want to deal with the Lord. The light will come and then this and this and this. You know, it's all bad. No. When the light shines, it is marvelous. It's too precious. So let's look at this. Number one, it exposes the true condition of man. It exposes the true condition. You know, last night, you know, when Falon was sharing, I assume most of you picked up something. And that is, when he was sharing, to me there was light shining. There was light concerning what? Concerning his absoluteness for the Lord. I mean, doesn't that shine on you? You realize, whoa, he is so absolute. You know, he's for God. He lets them know, lets his parents and everybody know. That was like shocking, you know, how absolute he was. But you know what? That's a light to us. To me, that's just light. Doesn't that shine on you how short we are? That matched something that happened to me when I first came to the church life. You know, the Lord started bringing me slowly to the church life. And I got there. I came to a meeting. And the first meeting, I realized, oh, my goodness. They are so absolute. And I can never be that absolute. So, bye-bye. I mean, that's really what happened. My friend who shared the Lord with me and eventually started caring for me a little bit and brought me to a meeting, I just started kind of pushing him away, leave me alone, because I kind of got shocked because I thought I was pursuing the Lord. I was going to this Jesus concert, and now it's Jesus concert, yeah, and coffee houses and all kinds of things. I'm pursuing the Lord. I'm doing really good. But then I got around this brother, and he would share things in the Word I never heard, and I thought I knew everything, you know, so proud. And then I came to a meeting, and I found out I'm not absolute like these people. That was light. It was a meeting full of light. God as light just shined. And I realized, I am so not absolute. I mean, where did I get that feeling? It came from the shining light in all the saints. God is what? Light. You know, you have the verse in 1 John 1:5, which we just talked about. In Him is light. God is light. Okay. Then, after that, there was a little experience. I've shared it before. the Lord just kept working on me, and I kept enjoying the Lord. And finally, he started touching things. He started shining. I mean, I wasn't just enjoying him. I was enjoying the divine nature, but there was light there. And he would shine on things. Like, why do you care about that? You know, I had all this rock cartridge. What do you call them? Tape cartridges back in those days. Tapes. And it's like, what am I doing? I don't want this anymore. What are you going to do? You going to keep it? No, I got to get rid of it. You know, is there just the Lord just shining? I don't need this. I need God. And I told this story before, you know, just going down the road, enjoying the Lord. And on my rearview mirror, some hippie beads. Actually, they're from Taos, New Mexico. They're Indian beads. I got there, special. You know, they're not any kind of beads. They're the good beads. You know what I mean? So they're cool. You know, they were cool to me. But I'm enjoying the Lord. And in that divine nature, there's light. And all of a sudden, the light shined. Do you love that or do you love me? No, I love you. I don't need this. I took it off the visor. I rolled down the window. I threw it out the window. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have littered, you know, the highway, but I was so released. I was so happy. The light shined. It supplied me to just, I don't need that. And I remember coming to a meeting, and I've told y'all about this one too. One of the brothers, older brothers, came up to me. He didn't know who I was. He, oh, what's your name? And then he just came up to me and he looked at my shirt just for a glance. And oh, he said, oh yeah, good, Ken Walker, da 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 da. But just that little glance at my shirt, bzz, it was like a radar gun, X-ray. And I, you know, my shirt had a big, it was just a big peacock, but it was an angry peacock, you know, it's like, and big, you know, things like that. That was before Angry Birds and all that. So, but it was an angry peacock, and the Lord, I just felt so dirty. The light just shines. God is light, and when He shines on us, He deals with so many things that are preventing us from going on with the Lord. And so we need the light to unload us. And you'll see more here, okay? Going on, what does light do? Point two, all together. Light enables us to see God. Again, light enables us to see God. I don't have the utterance for this. You know, There's nothing like being in the Lord's presence, enjoying His life, enjoying His nature, speaking to Him like Moses face to face, letting Him infuse us, shine on us. Listen, we just get to see someone we never saw before. He is the most wonderful, lovely one in the universe. So precious in every way. We just need more experiences like that, of the light enabling us and having experiences of seeing God. Then three, all together.
Light enables us to see the divine things in the spiritual realm.
Before I get to this, let's read the verse before that. It's 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. So it's precious as we, you know, we have fellowship with the Lord, and the Lord shines on us. The blood cleanses us because we confess something He shines on. We confess. And then what happens? Oh, we're just so happy, so released. And we get to see Him. There's glimpses of God. And then He shines on something else. You know, it may go on for a while, or maybe just a little something. And then you get a little glimpse of the wonderful God that we have. Okay, then three, light enables us to see the divine things in the spiritual realm. We already read that. You know, for example, you have this verse in Ephesians 1:18. There's a whole lot of things in the spiritual realm, saints. You know, it makes me think of Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus came to the Lord at night. He wanted some new things. You know, he's a leader. you know, among the Pharisees. And the Lord Jesus knew that he just wanted something, some teaching. But he right away, the Lord just told him, he said, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, you can't see or enter. Which one is it? See. You can't see the kingdom of God. He says it two things, and then you need to be born again, or you can't enter the kingdom of God. So he points out there's a whole other realm, Nicodemus. You don't know anything about it. There's a whole kingdom. The spiritual realm is another kingdom. And guess what? If you're not born again, you can't know it. If you're born again, you can't see it. So we, as ones that have been born again, there is a whole other realm. But we need this kind of walk in the light, in fellowship with the Lord. The blood is cleansing us. And then the Lord just enables us to see so many divine realities, things in the spiritual realm. You have a verse here, Ephesians 1:18. Part of that phrase is, we get to know, the eyes of our heart could be enlightened. We could know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, when you look at your parents that are in the church life, or you look at friends, or you look at your roommates, you may not see the inheritance that is in the saints. You know, Julius, does everybody know the inheritance that's in you? Or are you just a bother to everybody? No, he's not. But you know, we just don't have a proper view, you know, of one another. There's an inheritance in the saints. We need to see what's in the saints. The Lord has put something in them, but you can't see that without God's light. You know, when I came to the church life, I saw all the saints. I saw the way they dressed. And, you know, if you come from my background, it's like, whoa, this is really different. And I had the feeling I better not say. But it was like there was something very pure, very absolute, that regardless of how strange it was, I could care less, because I saw the reality of what was in all these saints. They're so precious, so many different ones. And you have testimonies of them. You get with them and you find out there's something so precious in everyone. The Lord has put an inheritance in them. Aren't you getting to know that a little bit today? Today I enjoyed lunch. Eating lunch with Jerry and Wesley and Austin. Hallelujah. There you are. That was so good. I never knew these guys. But I could tell just talking, whoa, there's a treasure in these brothers. Yeah, really sweet. They're from New Jersey. Hey, amen. I've never been there, so here we are. Found out what they think, how they think about things. It's pretty awesome. They love the Lord. Amen. Anyway, there's an inheritance in them. Okay, going on. For light enables man to see real light and realize the true nature of things. You know, the true nature. You know, one time, I was bothered about a brother. I couldn't stand him, actually. And I really couldn't understand why. I had some little reasons, but they weren't good. And so I couldn't say amen when he prayed. And we were in a little service group together. And it's just like his voice was like fingernails on a chalkboard, you know. So I just, and it bothered me so much that I went to the Lord. Lord, why do I feel like this? You know, I don't like having this feeling about this brother. And it was so nice. It was so awesome, brothers and sisters. You know, in Psalm 36:9, it says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." As I spent some time with the Lord, guess what? All of a sudden, I saw how the Lord saw that brother. I saw what the Lord was doing in him. I saw how the Lord was doing a work in him. And the Lord's not through with him. And I saw how much the Lord loved him. And I saw how the Lord, that brother has to stand before the Lord and give an account one day. And I saw that, what am I doing? Am I going to add to that judgment? Who am I? I mean, it was sickening that I had such judgment to add, you know. Anyway, I just was melted by the Lord shining his light. Afterwards, listen, That brother, every time he said anything, it was, amen. Amen. Even years later, I'd see him at conferences. I'd just sit down and say, brother, talk to me. I just want to hear you speak. I just treasured what was in him. I realized the Lord had done something. He's working in him. And as years went by, I'm so glad I got through to see in the light how precious the Lord was with that brother. Five, light releases us from bondage. I think of, you know, I mentioned that already. And that's, you know, when the light shines, we're released from bondage. You know, in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness. You know, it's darkness when we're not following the Lord. Do you like being in darkness? No. And it's bondage to be in darkness. And so, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be in darkness. I want to be in the light. And in the light, we're freed from darkness. And you know, the Lord, throughout the years, he's continually shining his light on us. He's working on us. You know, in the early days, it might have been rock music, you know, or whatever it was. He's still not through. He's still shining his light. Oh, your opinions, your criticisms. Oh, your habits. He's working in an inward, real way, shining on us. But it's sweet. It's a supply. And it's a freedom. Amen. It's a freedom to have him shine on us. Okay? Then, six. Altogether. Light delivers us out of confusion and brings us into order, harmony, and unity. And I don't know, I just had a little example here. You know, light delivers us out of confusion. Sometimes when we have to make decisions in our life, big decisions, just confusion, you know. You know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go to school? Where am I going to work? Where should I live? You know, there's so many things like this. And we get confused. I like something that Dick Taylor always would say when I was with him for those years in L.A. He'd always tell the ones that were trying to make big decisions. He said, nobody gets clear about anything unless they're enjoying the Lord. And I like that. You never get clear unless you're enjoying the divine life with the divine nature. Because in that nature, there's what? Light. There's order. There's some that brings us into harmony, you know, with him. And there's this one time when I was... it was a big thing for me to serve the Lord full time. I'd been in business for 25 years in the IT world. And I had three kids living at home. And I've been with this company for 20 years, one company. And the brothers wanted me to consider serving the Lord full time. What? Drop my job? Serve full time? Is that an easy decision? Well, it was pretty easy. You just get to the Lord and enjoy the Lord. And I enjoyed a song, hymn 904. You know, it begins with, "We have a most glorious King." Da, da, da. And then there's one verse that really touched me. It says, I forget how it begins, but the second part of the verse says, "The world has its work and rewards. I count them but folly and loss. My business is only his cross. Mine is only his cross." Anyway, all it took was just two little lines. The world has its work. The world has its work and rewards. I count them but folly and loss. And the Lord just shined. And I saw in the light, it's all folly. It's all folly. Okay, yeah, I got some I get some stock, and I get a clock, and this and that, every now and then, you know, these little promotions and stuff. But it's folly. It's loss. There's nothing compared to serving the King. Anyway, there's nothing like it. Well, what we need in times like that, light. Enjoy the divine nature with God as light. That's his expression. Okay. Moving on quickly. 7, light brings life. Genesis 1, what happened? At the beginning. What was the first thing God said? Let there be
light.
And then what came after that?
Light.
Okay, so light brings in life. Then D, this is the third aspect of his nature, and that is spirit is the nature of his person. Okay, so what's number 1? Love. Number 2?
Light.
Number 3? Spirit. So this is the nature of God's person. Do you want to enjoy the divine nature?
Amen.
We need to enjoy the divine nature. Because in the divine nature, we have the love of God, we have the light of God, and we have the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God. And so this Spirit is marvelous because this is the person. This is the person. Let's read one under this. Oh, the other. As God's nature,
Spirit is
omnipresent. Whenever and wherever we desire to fellowship with God, we need only to contact the Spirit.
Amen. God is Spirit.
Amen. God is Spirit.
Amen.
So I'll say that. God is Spirit. Amen. Where is He? Amen. He's omnipresent. What if you go to New Mexico? What if you go to the moon? Amen. There's the verses here, Psalm 139:7. Where shall I go away from your Spirit? And where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, there you are. You can't get away from his presence. He's omnipresent as the Spirit. Praise the Lord, we're believers. We've received Him as the life-giving Spirit. He indwells us. You can't get away from Him. When I, early in the church life, I took a little hiatus, and I decided, okay, I'm going to go see my brother in New Mexico. And I was overwhelmed somewhat in the church life. I was starting to have responsibility, and I need a little time away. And so I got to New Mexico, and I still wanted to enjoy the Lord. Even, it's crazy, as I was leaving Houston by myself in a car, headed to New Mexico, I was singing a song. You know what I was singing? It's ridiculous. Lord, I call, take me home to the place where I belong. Love and oneness in your family. Lord, I call, take me home. I'm sitting there, what am I doing? I'm kind of leaving the church life a little bit. And I'm singing, take me home. It's just ridiculous. So I got to New Mexico and I realized, I just continued to have conversation with the Lord and I realized, Lord, you're here, but your move is not here. I was in the middle of nothing. Just, this nice cactus and some little, yeah, there's nothing here. And I can almost see over the horizon. God's moving in Houston. You know, that's where He's moving. I got to get back to Houston. Anyway, what was my point? Yeah, He's everywhere. You can't get away. Isn't that good, Kenneth? You can't get away, brother. Okay, then, 2. Altogether, when we touch the Spirit, we touch life. Because the Spirit is life. Okay, Nathan, why don't you read that again?
When we touch the Spirit, we touch life.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Spirit is life.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Touch the Spirit.
Amen.
Let's all declare that. Touch the Spirit.
Touch the Spirit.
Encourage your neighbors. Touch the Spirit.
Touch the Spirit.
Touch life.
Touch life.
When you touch the Spirit, you touch life. There's just no getting around it. I hope you all realize from what's been shared so far, anytime we turn a little bit to the Lord, listen, He is the Spirit who now indwells us, who is life-giving. And He gives life to us whenever we turn and just touch. Just a little touch. Just one touch of You, dear Lord. Just one look into Your eyes. Anyway, just one touch. Oh, it's so precious. We get the Spirit of life. We get life into our being. So our life needs to be, as Christians, I hope we would realize what a wonderful life we have. We have an eternal life, you know, uncreated life, resurrection life, indestructible life. We have the divine nature full of love and light. And this one is the Spirit. He's a person in me. Wow, what a divine life with a divine nature. Isn't that worth hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I just think it's awesome. You know, this is a little bit off, but it reminds me of the time I was a kid in the country, and I had a BB gun, and I went just shooting at things. You know, whatever you do. A kid in Texas, you shoot at things. But I got to a fence, and I was going to go to the fence to go into another field, and I noticed on the top of the fence there was an electric wire. You know, I recognize what those were. They're connected to the power plant, ultimately. You know, they got electricity running through them. So I knew I had to be careful. So I went down to get through the fence. I pushed the barbed wire down, and I got in. But my BB gun touched the top wire, the metal. Bam! I touched electricity. All it took was one touch, and it just kind of threw me through the fence. And fortunately, it took the BB gun with me. So it's like, whoa, that was a shock. But you know what? All I know is, ever since then, I've always thought about, since I came to church life, I need a lot of that. I need to touch the Spirit. Amen. Touch the Spirit. Get some divine energy. Amen. Divine supply. Amen. Something from the heavens. Amen. Lord, infuse me with your life.
Amen.
You know, when you touch that barbed wire, you get what's over there in the power plant. When you touch the Spirit, what do you get, Mark?
Lord.
Amen. You get what do you get? Yeah. You get life. You get the Spirit of life. Gets infused into your being. So anyway, we need a lot of touching the Spirit.
Amen.
Remind your neighbor, touch the Spirit. Amen. Okay, going on to E. I need to wrap this up. So, E.
Let's
enjoy it. Aspects of what God is become our enjoyment. One, altogether, we enjoy the riches of the divine nature through God's precious and exceedingly great promise. Okay, again, I come back to this, saints. This is very much related to what I mentioned at the beginning, where the Lord said, just sanctify them in the truth. Don't take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil one. Put the truth into them. Put the word into them. Sanctify them. Set them apart by your word. And here, you've been memorizing this verse like crazy, haven't you? 2 Peter 1:4, you want to all declare it? Or should I put one?
Precious to us, precious and exceedingly great promises,
that through these
you might become partakers of the divine nature,
having escaped the corruption in the world. So, again, it comes back to, saints, to enjoy God's life, God's nature. You see in this verse that we partake of the divine nature by and through the promises in His Word. The Word, it can save us. On one hand, we need to escape the corruption in the world and partake. And on the other hand, we need to partake and escape. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we need to, you know, like some of the little stories we've heard from the sharing, you know, about getting to the meetings, you know, just to get out of your bed or just get out of what you're doing and just go to the prayer meeting. Go learn how to pray or go to a meeting. What is that? That's to escape the corruption that's in the world. And guess what happens when you do that? You might partake. There's a good possibility you're in the right environment where you could partake of the divine nature. You could get together with some others. They may actually enjoy God. And what happens? You get God. You get His nature. You get love. You get light. You get Spirit filling you up with Himself. So we need to escape, to partake. On the other hand, we need to partake.
Amen.
Partake of the divine nature.
Amen.
And what happens when we partake? We what? Are y'all sure?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all declare, we need to escape.
We need to escape.
By partaking.
By partaking.
We need to partake.
We need to partake.
But to escape.
To escape.
Tell your neighbor, partake.
Partake.
Then tell him, escape.
Escape.
Amen. This is really right. Doesn't this match your experience? When you partake of the promises in the Word, guess what? Man, it is so powerful. The Word energizes you. You get the grace of Christ. You get the supply of the triune God. And you can escape the corruption in the world by lust. This is the facts. We need to lay hold of all the promises in the Word. You know, just like I gave the example, Lord, your grace is sufficient. Do I believe that? It's a promise. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Are you weak? Guess what? His strength is made perfect in weakness. Is that a promise?
Yes.
What should we say?
Amen.
We should say, Amen. His strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient. Amen. That's just an example. You know, you can just open the Bible. There's so many promises. And then just by partaking, saints, we get the divine nature which causes us to escape. Do you believe it or not?
Amen.
Okay, I'll just give you an example. I was looking at this today. Okay. I just want to see if you believe this. Let's just repeat after me. Much more.
Much more.
Those who receive the abundance of grace.
Those who receive the abundance of grace.
And of the gift of righteousness.
And of the gift of righteousness.
Will reign in life.
Will reign in life.
Through the one.
Through the one.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't that a wonderful promise? What should you do? Receive what? What happens if you receive the abundance of grace? You'll reign in life. All by yourself? In yourself? No. Through the one. Receive the abundance of grace and reign in life. Through that one. Because that one got into you. The one is here. He's here in the Word to give us Himself. We are partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that marvelous? Most Christians don't know or even realize that we can partake of the divine nature. You know, this is a precious, precious realization that we need to practice. Lord, I need to practice what? Partaking of the divine nature. And escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Okay, so the Bible's a book of promises. That's A. Then B, everyone. Every time we see a promise in God's Word, we have to spend some time before God to pray, asking Him to accomplish His promise in us. Amen. I like the last verse on here, Luke 1:38. And Mary said, "Behold, the slave of the Lord." She says, "May it happen to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In other words, she agreed with the word, "May it happen." That's according to your word. Then two, altogether, becoming a partaker of the divine nature as a condition that we escape the corruption which is in the world through lust. A, brothers.
Lust is a barrier that keeps us from enjoying the divine nature. If we live according to the lust of the flesh, we cannot become those who enjoy the divine nature.
Sisters, B. Amen. Then all together, three. If we enjoy God and partake of Him, we shall be constituted of Him. The more we are saturated with God, the more we shall express Him. Amen. Why don't you read that one more time all together? If we enjoy God and partake of Him, we shall be constituted of Him. The more we are saturated with God, the more we shall express Him. Amen. And then the focus is, let's all read the focus too. We need to daily enjoy God as life and partake of His divine nature, love, light, and spirit, in order to be constituted with Him for His expression. Amen. Don't we want to be part of His expression?
Amen.
Do we want to be part of the age?
No.
It's an age of ungodliness. It's a godless age. And we want to partake of the divine nature to escape. And how do we do this? Absolutely is linked to and dependent on our relationship with the Word of God. I want to read something that really touched me when I was in London. I was near London in Brentwood, and in Brentwood there's a memorial there where something had happened a long time ago, and it was a martyr, and they built a memorial to him. And I just want to read this to you. And this was a person. This was a young man who stood against the age. He stood against the age, and he was willing to die for it. And you can't believe how simple it is. But it's so awesome. The person's name is William Hunter. And it says on the stone there, William Hunter, martyr. Committed to the flames, March something something, Christian reader, learn from his example to value the privilege of an open Bible and be careful to maintain it. And it has a part of the verse, he being dead yet speaketh. He was tortured, not accepting deliverance that he might obtain a better resurrection. That's on the other side of it. And then, oops. Okay, then, to the pious memory of William Hunter, a native of Brentwood, that's near London, near Bower House, who maintaining his right to search the scriptures and in all matters of faith and practice to follow their sole guidance, was condemned at the early age of 19. By Bishop Bonner in the reign of Queen Mary, and burned at the stake near this spot. He yielded up his life for the truth, sealing it with his blood to the praise of God. Isn't that touching? A 19-year-old who gave himself up to be burned at the stake for the right of just reading the Bible. Isn't that amazing? That's very touching to me. And we realize we have an open Bible. And we need to, why wouldn't we pay a price to give ourselves to enjoy what God is in His life and nature contained in the Scriptures? Daily. This will save us to the uttermost. This will bring us into His expression, and this will ultimately produce what He needs in the way of a body and a bride for Him to come back to. Amen. Well, I don't think I can get into the next message. There's another message. You're just going to have to get into it. But I would just encourage you at least look at righteousness, holiness, the first, glory and wisdom. Those are just too precious. And I just can't do it right now. Amen? So let's leave it to you. Maybe we could just pray with our neighbor. And then I would like, saints, I would like for you all to have a time to overflow. And it, when I say overflow, it means to just confirm what you've heard, what you see in the outline, the words. And I think it would be best at this time that we let some of the ones who have not shared come to the mic. If you've already shared, don't come to the mic. I know you may have something, but we like to hear from others. So give that opportunity to others at this point. All right? Let's pray with our neighbor. Amen.